The Diner is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Go to audiblepodcast.com/thediner and get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial.
Listen, America, come closer. You and your home, and you speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
I'm ready to order. Oh, no, that again? Do I really have to? Okay, all right.
I'd like the breakfast special number 2. Eggs over easy. Bacon. And orange juice.
What's that?
Blood orange juice.
All right, that'll be up soon. Great, thank you. Well, I suppose I should get into the Halloween spirit. Otherwise, this episode doesn't stand a ghost of a chance. That's not funny, is it? No. But we'll explain a little bit the connection between bad puns and Halloween at some point here. But it is Halloween. And, you know, even though it's not what it was when you were a kid, at least it's not what it was a few years ago, when seemingly Halloween was going to replace every other holiday in the foremost part of the consciousness of the American adult, which is just peculiar, but I think we've ramped back a little bit here. And the diner, I'm pleased to note, has curtailed its decorations somewhat. Usually there are 2 or 3 streamers of black and orange crepe. Now they're down to 1. And the Ben Franklin cardboard silhouettes of witches, there used to be 3, but there are 2. And on one instance, the broom is broken off because it was folded and put into storage. And, you know, it's also from 1963. Hey, folks, welcome to the diner. I'm James Lalick, sitting here at my accustomed place, the long boomerang pattern from Mike Account at the Old Diner, out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. Faster if you're on your broomstick. Yeah, see. Not funny, not scary. And that's Halloween for an awful lot of adults. Not funny, not scary. An excuse, perhaps, to put on makeup, zombify yourself, and get hammered. But, there's always something new, though, isn't there? And this year, it's the request here at the diner. When did I all of a sudden go into Al Hag there? I am in charge here at the diner at this moment that everybody speak in a, the standard 1930 stereotypical Romanian Lugosi-era vampire voice. Blah! When we order our food. So I've done that. Check that off. The other constant, though, here at the diner is the annual realization and survey of an indisputable fact that Halloween music is compromises the most dreadful quantity of commercial ditty dreck that you've ever heard in your lifetime. Of all the holiday music, it's the worst. And it's not like Christmas, of course, abounds in songs that we love. Thanksgiving tunes, you know, maybe a hymn. 4th of July, maybe a patriotic ditty or a Sousa march. And there's only a few of them, and we don't mind, and nobody really has to be exposed to them ad nauseum. But every time this year comes around, they do the mash, the monster mash. And yeah, okay, we love the song as a kid, and you laugh at it once when you hear it on the radio. But you have no idea how much bad stuff there is out there. In the 1930s, of course, horror, the classic monsters, had a resurgence because of Universal Studios doing Dracula, Frankenstein, Invisible Man, Wolfman. So all these guys had their little turn at the wheel, and there were actually sort of, the economic depression and a resurgence of Halloween in the popular culture. Maybe the two of them were entwined to somewhat, do you think? So there's a lot of songs from the 30s that are supposedly scary around Halloween time, and they're all the same. They all have dum 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 bum 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 and a slide whistle, which is supposed to indicate ghosts or leaves or something of the sort. And then in the 40s, you didn't have an awful lot of Halloween horror music because there was some other horror going on in the 40s, I think, that pretty much focused people's attention. And then in the 50s, fear of communism was sublimated by an attraction to vampire. No, I had nothing of the sort. There was just, you know, you had guys who did Dracula's Dragster and other attempts to cash in. But then the Monster Mash, of course, solidified it all, and after that we had to have innumerable versions of that. Well, every year we try to find something new that's old, that's bad in the Halloween genre, in the hopes that one of these days we're going to find something that's actually a catchy little ditty. I'll be honest, Mr. Ghost Goes to Town is pretty good, but I'm not sure it's a Halloween song. A ghost is not limited to peregrination along the side of the road to go into the urban center to Halloween. As I understand ectoplasm, it's not bound by our own calendrical rules. There's no reason that Mr. Ghost couldn't go into town in July, or June, or December for that matter. So it's not really a Halloween song. On the other hand, when you have a song called, you know, It Ain't No Sin to Shed Your Skin and Jump Around in Your Bones, I think that's pretty much going to be pitched toward your October market there. Anyway, I don't stock the jukebox. The guy who comes by does. So let's take a look and see what we have here. No, I'm not going as anything this year. Last year I did. I went as Mustard. And you know why I went as Mustard? Because I'm obliged to go to a Halloween party. And I'm obliged to either stand there looking like the one guy who couldn't be arsed, who just couldn't bother because everybody else has something. And they're ingenious costumes. I mean, there are 3 to 5 costume and set designers who live in this neighborhood. So you can imagine what they look like. You can imagine how they dress their children. So I show up in a coat with mittens and stand around outside the fire. And, you know, you can't come up with any excuse you come up with. It's like, hey, what are you? I'm a guy who doesn't care. I'm dressed as a guy who doesn't care. How do I look? Am I giving you the proper impression fully of a guy who doesn't care? Because I'm really into the role this year. No, last year I went as Mustard. I went to the store and I bought a Mustard costume, which consisted of $19 worth of yellow foam that you put over you with the word Mustard on your chest and then a conical hat, which did not squirt out mustard, of course. But I wandered around in this for the entirety of the evening, because there's a sleeve, right? And if there actually had been any sort of demonical presence that had been summoned up by the 15 neighborhood wives who decided to go as hot witches, I would have been ground and eaten and consumed in mere seconds, because there's no way you can run from evil when you're wearing a conical suit of yellow foam. Well, the color doesn't even matter. When you've got a foam sleeve that goes down to your ankles, all you can do is very quickly walk away. And you really look vulnerable because you're large, you're a condiment. And so it's you're asking for it. So, and then, of course, they find you, and you've been eaten and mauled, and it's all red now, and they're thinking, that's weird. Because it looks like it's ketchup, but it says mustard there in the front of it. Huh, must be one of those new combo condiments I keep hearing so much about. Anyway, I'll go with something, I'm sure. Well, nobody's dressed in costume here at the diner. Although I see, looking out the big plate glass window at the parking lot, there's some people dressed up as zombies staggering around out there. As is the vogue these days. Zombies. Let me tell you about zombies, kid. Let me tell you, in my time, there was one thing that meant zombies, and that was Night of the Living Dead, the original. We snuck into a college theater to see it in high school. We'd been told by the older kids, it's the scariest thing you'll ever see, man. They eat the people. You see them eating people. And so, of course, teen boys look at each other and say, well, the theatrical depiction of the consumption of human flesh? By Jiminy, where do I go to pay money for that? So off we went. And you sit there in the movie theater in the state of complete pre-horrification anticipation, like tenterhooks in every pores lifting you out of your seat until you finally see it, the zombies gibbering, slobbering, and gobbling down something they bought at the butcher counter. And the shriek and the horror and the squeals and the laughter, and you look at each other and you say, that was pretty cool, man. It's cool that we're here. It's cool that we're doing this. And then you just wait for something worse to happen, and it never did. Except for a hand through the door. The most terrifying moment of any movie of my lifetime, I think. A hand through the door, that's all it took. Prior to that, the thing that scared me the most, and I know I've mentioned this before, is the ghost in Mr. Chicken. I was very young. Very spooky, though. Don Knotts, not exactly a towering figure of cinema horror, but when he beheld that painting with the garden shears in the throat and the blood trickling from it and the organ playing somewhere in the haunted mansion, I lost it and I had to go, take me out of here. And to this day, I have a difficult time disassociating Don Knotts without thinking of that moment of childhood terror. Anyway, let's take a look at what we have here in the jukebox. Like I say, I don't stock this thing. It's done by the guy who comes in the middle of the night. But I'm guessing that he's probably made it Halloween appropriate. Let's go to G1. That was me.
Everything is topsy-turvy with the world today. All the world is restless since depression came our way.
Topical.
So last night I went to sleep and dreamed that I had died. My weary body felt at ease and to myself I cried. Look at the flowers, they're certainly sweet. It sure is swell to be laying out dead. And look at the people all lining the street. It sure is swell to be laying out dead. There's a lot of consolation riding peacefully. Past the guy that stole my wife, I know he envies me. And look at the horses. Oh boy, what a treat. It sure is swell to be laying out dead. Look at the mourners. Oh, don't they look grand? It sure is swell to be laying out dead. That's elegant music that's played by the band. It sure is swell to be laying out dead. There's the butcher and the baker standing in their doors. I won't have to worry how to dodge them anymore. And look at the landlord just shaking his head. It sure is swell to be laying out dead.
Yes, the Depression was so bad that the popular songs involved around the pleasurable notion of the persistence of consciousness so you could observe after death people that you owed money to being unable to collect. Whoa. Okay, good times. Not sure that's a Halloween song, though, here. Let's go to M1. Check. Check and double check. Check. What, were you working in your lab late one night?
I was working on my monster in the laboratory late.
All right, stop. I can do that now with the jukebox now that I've hooked up my laptop via Wi-Fi to control the Rockola. Let's break it down. Got all the cliches. Don't be the creaking door. The the maniacal laugh. I was working in my lab late one night. Let's take a look at that, shall we? It's a mad scientist, right? It's obviously a mad scientist, but why do we always assume that a mad, crazy, insane scientist is capable of reanimating dead flesh into something that walks around? If he's suffering from a mental illness, it's entirely possible that he believes he is creating a creature when actually he's just sewing bananas to old copies of TV Guide. I mean, he's not well. Secondly, he wouldn't say, I was making a monster. A monster is what other people would call it. He would think it was a beautiful creation. And finally, why is it always, I was working in my lab late one night? It's always late at night with these guys, isn't it? You never hear him say, I got out of the lab about 10 o'clock in the morning or so, worked until noon. A little hungry, so I knocked out for grilled cheese and went back about 12:40. I usually work in the lab until about 5, 6 or so, and then, you know, I like to see what's on the tube. Now, they're always working on their monster in their laboratory late one night. And then something happens, doesn't it? Something always happens. Well, let's find out.
Last night, when I made a short circuit, it really gave me quite a fright. Then my monster jumped out with a ghoulish grin across his face. He took me in his arms, and this is what I heard.
Again, stop. No. The unholy result of electricity and vivisection is not going to leap up and ask to be informed as to the particulars of a 1950s musical genre. It's not the first thing that's going to come to their mind. Something along the lines of, why am I alive again? What hideous meat suit have you implanted my consciousness into? And that voice, that high-pissed voice, I apparently he didn't sew all the parts on his monster, if you know what I mean. And that high-pitched voice actually was used... Oh, great deal. Once they decided that they could speed up something and drop it in and it would work, let me put this one on hold for a second here and see if I can find a precedent for this elsewhere in the jukebox. I'm familiar with the name. Listen to this.
Hey, baby.
While walking through the woods and not far from town, I got real shook, I heard the strangest sound. I saw the purple people eater, and to my surprise, the witch doctor sitting by his side. The witch doctor had a little guitar in his hand, and they were popping and rocking with a two-piece band. Purple was a blowing like a people eater should. Witch doctor picked like Johnny B. Good. They went a...
See what I mean? Sped up voices. Witch doctor, purple people eater, indistinguishable concepts from other novelty records yoked together for Halloween for no particular reason other than to cash in and make a buck. Let's go back to our other song and see about the monster who wants to be taught exactly how he can rock and or roll. It's a lot of work down the drain. Literally.
Because without these accessories, I knew that he would be no good. But my breath was took away as I sold to my surprise.
Growing disenchantment of a Rocky Horror Picture Show fan.
There were 10 little monsters standing right before my eyes.
Oh, they're just here to see Lady Gaga. Enough of the T-Rex meets Peter Gunn in the 70s glam. Let's see what's going on back in the 50s. Same. Ding, dang. Okay, who would willingly listen to this? Who would fish in their pocket for a medium of exchange and put it into a machine to play this without any way to stop it? How does this thing end? What the hell was that? Just hold it. Let me rewind this here.
And you're 666.
What? 666 Eck? Huh? 666, the Mark of the Beast, of course, Revelations. But Eckankar? There used to be this religious organization in the storefront across the street in Dinkytown next to Ralph and Jerry's and Positively 4th Street. It's called Eckankar. We never saw anybody go in. We never saw anybody go out. Never knew what they were all about, what their doctrine. It was all a mystery. It was just a sign of the door. Eck. I'd hate to think that they were actually involved in hastening the end of days. But you never know. Well, let's go back to the other song and see what's going on with the monster who wanted to rock and roll. Yes, well, the little monsters are still requesting particulars as to how to rock and roll, which, of course, you can't do, man. You can't teach somebody how to rock and roll. You just gotta know it. Which, of course, is nonsense. You know, in the 1970s, somebody on a college campus proposed a class in how to rock and roll, and it was approved, being the 70s. And that person now has tenure and cannot be fired, no matter how outdated their theories on how one rocks and rolls are. But, of course... writing about rock and roll, as I'm sure a college professor would have to do in order to get tenure, is preposterous, right? We all know that writing about music is like dancing about architecture. I love that phrase. And it's always made me want to invent a dance about architecture. Put some leaves on my head and just stand there for 4 centuries, doing the Corinthian. But you're right. You can't really capture rock and roll in music. One guy who could Actually, it was Lester Bangs. Lester Bangs was a great writer. He used to write for Cream. And he had a style that somehow captured all the raw glam energy of rock and roll in the early 70s. One of his cause celebs was Lou Reed. He went back and forth hating Lou, loving Lou. Lou hated him. Lou hated him less. Back and forth they went. Lester, unfortunately, has died, and I can't find a lot of his stuff on the web. As a matter of fact, I went to see if there's any audiobook versions of it. You know what I found? I found an interview with Lou Reed himself, now gone. But Lou Reed in 1969 sat down and talked about what it was like to be Lou Reed in the Velvet Underground. And you, if you would so like to hear Lou and his wisdom at the time, 69, Lou Reed. Ooh, that's as original as it gets. You can get it for free at audible.com. That's right. Proud sponsor of the Diner Podcast. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/the diner, audiblepodcast.com/the diner, you can get this book for free. You can listen to it anywhere for free. Thanks to the WhisperSync technology, you can hear it on one device and pick it up on another. Can't say that you can broadcast to it a Rockola jukebox as I'm doing with my stuff here at the diner, but it's almost just as cool. So you can sync on all your devices, put one down, pick it up on the other, and immerse yourself in the wisdom of Lou Reed raw in 1969. That's a scary concept for Halloween, isn't it? I'm doing my best to link to the topic at hand. But the fact of the matter is that there's nothing scary about Audible's product. Oh, good Lord. Man, painful. What's not painful is what you'll pay. 99 cents if you're a non-member. So why would you want to be a non-member when you can get it for free for a 30-day trial membership? And once you hook yourself up with Audible.com and get used to listening to stuff as you go along, you know, stuff like The Diner. You like to drive around and listen to this. You like to work out and listen to that. Whatever you like to do, obviously you're the sort of person who listens to things while doing other things. Ergo, audiblepodcast.com/the diner is where you go to get your free trial and listen to Lou Reed. I wonder if Lou Reed cut any Halloween music. I wonder if he did anything. I think the scariest thing Lou Reed ever did was Metal Machine Music. A joke, perhaps. A contractual obligation album. Four sides of unlistenable feedback. I think Lou actually meant it to be taken seriously. I really do. But that's another show. I'm going to abbreviate and alleviate here. I'm going to take myself to the facilities and for a moment and enjoy this word from our other imaginary, but still quite special, sponsors. We'll be right back.
Say, by the way, Doctor, is mystery your sole pleasure?
Young man, what could be more pleasant than mystery?
Well, music, for instance.
Why, of course. Have you ever heard my clanking of chains?
Doctor, I'm afraid you've got me wrong. I mean the kind of music men hum or whistle when they feel on top of the world. And gentlemen, one of the many things that give you that tip-top feeling is the pleasure of being well-dressed. Perfect taste is a criterion. And in hats, there's nothing smarter than an Adam. From stem to stern, your Adam hat gives off that look of quality. You see quality in the carefully molded shape, and in the richness of the genuine all-fur felt, and in the subtle color shade. Next time you pass an Adam hat store or authorized dealer, stop in and try on an Adam. Once you see and wear an Adam hat, you'll agree that today, as before, Adam is one of America's outstanding hat values.
Yes, Nelson Riddle doing the Alvin theme. Boy, Nelson could riddle-fy anything and make it swank, couldn't he? You know, he could take the most bouncy, banal, happy, cheerful little children's song and turn it into something you can imagine Frank Sinatra putting on the stereo before he put it to Ava. Well, let's see what else is on the jukebox here. Man, there are a lot of zombies out there now. It's like there's 150 more. Obviously, the diner parking lot is the meet-up spot for some zombie pub crawl, and they're probably going to come in here for pie and coffee, and we'll all have to say, oh, wow, you look so great. What makeup? You're so moist. How did you get it to look like your jaw is off? Halloween. Unless they're real. Unlikely. Highly unlikely. I don't believe zombies are possible. And highly unlikely if there was a zombie apocalypse, and I shudder to use the term. that it would be on Halloween. You got a one on, out of 365 chances, right? But, I mean, it could happen. It'd be a, an apt day. It'd be better than Christmas, for heaven's sakes. Well, Christmas Day, you know, yeah. Christmas Day is always something of a letdown for a lot of people. If you open your presents on Christmas Eve, you'd want the zombie apocalypse to be on Christmas Day. If you open your presents on Christmas Day, you'd want it to be later in the afternoon. You know, get the presents and the and church and the whole turkey out of the way. And then, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 o'clock when everyone's feeling a little sleepy, then you see the undead staggering up the yard, which I wouldn't have to worry about because I have a hill. And if there's snow, there's, the zombies just simply aren't going to make it up. That's why I don't worry about zombies. Just wait them out. They'll freeze and then go chop them up. They won't be moving. Just chop them up like firewood, for heaven's sakes. But no, no, no. Whole bunch of people have got to fantasize about the zombie apocalypse and how cool it'll be, man. I'll be able to work out all of my antisocial, sociopathic fantasies running around with a machete and chopping off the heads of animate humans. Yeah, right. Well, most of the people on the internet who think I'd be really cool to be present during the zombie apocalypse would themselves be shambling wrecks with no jaw and an eyeball hanging out of their skull because they were the weak, easily culled, and would be dispatched by the guys who didn't waste their time on the computers, but actually had a machete or a bow and arrow or something of the sort. But what if they are zombies out there? What if they are zombies? I wonder if there's a test for this. Well, let me play a tune here and cogitate about this. I'm just going to open my laptop here and see if there are actually any tests to see if the people outside are dressed like zombies or are actual zombies. I know what you're saying. Go out and drive a fork through one of their eyeballs. Yeah, but there's a downside if I'm wrong. So I'm just going to see if there's some other non-invasive way that I can check. Be right back. In the meantime, here is F2.
On a night when you are out on a lark, all alone and so afraid of the dark, that's the time you may encounter your host.
Who? Dick Clark.
The Rockin' Ghost.
Oh.
When the winds are blowing up in the trees, and you're feeling kind of weak in the knees, who will follow you from pillar to post?
Who? Pekingese.
The Rockin' Ghost.
Oh.
Luckily, if you want him to get going, all you do is say, I dig you the most, ghost. Then you'll notice he'll be Tim in his hat, 'cause he really is the swingin'est cat. When he hears you say, I dig you the most,
ooh,
the rockin' ghost. The rockin' ghost, the rockin' ghost.
All right, Wikipedia, zombies. Disambiguation. Ooh. Oh, I see. That's the term they use when there's multiple entries for the same word. One goes to zombies, mythical creatures. The other goes to zombies, the band. Although disambiguation, that sounds like something you do to one, doesn't it? Man, I disambiguated that zombie. Whoa. Okay. Zombies. Identification of. Okay. There are two ways. Footnote. To tell whether or not the creatures are real or actual zombies, according to the fictional world. Citation needed. Some zombies relate and respond positively to sound and are drawn to it. Others are repelled, and the more repellent and discordant the music, the more the zombies react. This would seem to indicate that the zombie's auditory system is still hooked up to the brain, which indicates some sort of biological defense mechanism. So, okay, there's one theory that says if you play music, they react to it well, and there's another that says they react poorly. Huh. What if I was to find some really, really offensive music? I think that I can do. That I think I can do. Hold on a second. I've got to go through my library here. I'm going to slap on another. Let me go. Let me play. We haven't gone to the Q's yet, have we? Here's Q1.
Wibbity beat, beat, yummity yum, yum, trickity treat, treat, dum de dum dum, trick or treat. It's so sweet, all the candy I can eat. It's Halloween at the end of October. I'm on the scene, boy, am I sober.
I met this girl
Did I hear that correctly? It's Halloween. It's the end of October. It's Halloween, and boy, am I sober. It's an interesting admission to make, but we return. I'm still looking for the music that I think will identify the zombies. All right, I think I have the perfect piece of music here to determine whether or not these are zombies. This is not going to drive them off. That was last week's plot point. I think it'll just show whether or not they're actual zombies. If they clasp their ears and fall down, then they're zombies. If they don't, then they're people. No, hold on a second. Let me get that straight. No, if they do fall, if they do clasp their ears and fall down, then they're people because they're reacting to how bad it is. If they don't react to it, then, right, if they don't react, then they are actual zombies. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of the passing of the man himself, I present something that I found here in the recesses of my hard drive. Rarely heard by anybody, frequently referenced as some of the strangest and, dare I say, dare everybody say, dare all the critics say, dare the sales figure say, the worst music ever put on an album. I give you Lou Reed, Metal Machine, Music. Part 1. All right, well, they're not clapping their hands to their ears and falling down, so they're real zombies. Maybe, perhaps, kind of, sort of, yeah. Which means it's only a matter of time before they burst in here looking for brains, of course. That's what they always want. Brains, sweet brains. We've got some. I'm looking around here. I mean, 7 or 8 people in the diner itself. But we got brains and cans in the pantry, probably. I know that when the diner had a big southern clientele a few years ago, they put up some brains and cans. It's a, you know, fry them up a little. It's good eating. But you throw some brains and cans at zombies, you're just chumming the water here. They're not going to be satisfied with that. They're not going to share. They're the worst when it comes to sharing. You think a zombie's going to stand there while you open up a can with a can opener once they get a whiff of it and wait for you to dole out the brains and portions that are going to, you know, no pushing, no shoving, brains here for everyone. They don't work that way. So I got to figure a way to draw them away from here somehow. What to... Oh, of course, how stupid of me. You remember years ago the ghostly diner, the apparitional diner that appeared, the haunted diner that appears in the woods on the other side of Highway 23, old Highway 23. Of course, once a year it shows up, a ghastly place, bedecked with cobwebs, frightening. But there it is. I assume it is. I can't see it from here, but I think 3 or 4 years ago we went down through the catacombs to get there, right? You remember that? I really don't want to lead a herd of lowing vampires through catacombs. They're dark. You can trip. And I likewise, the funicular railway that we took a couple of years ago is down for maintenance. I don't know why they built a funicular railway to connect to an apparitional diner that appears once a year. I have no idea, but a lot of this stuff is just over my head. So maybe I can lead them Pied Piper style to the diner across the highway, and in the process, maybe a lot of them will get picked off. If I can time it right, a semi coming along would just take on an awful lot of them. And then, once they're at the apparitional haunted diner, they can enjoy themselves zombie style, and we can get back to normal here without having to worry that our flesh was going to be consumed by the undead on the way to their car to go home. So, I think that's win-win for everybody. Let me grab my table knife here. You may think this is a stunningly ineffectual device, but you know they're rotten. Just one poke and they're down. So I hear. And now let's just walk through the parking lot, stabbing them as I go along, and lead them across the road to the haunted diner. Shall we?
Watch the suit. Get your damn stinking zombie paws off me. You want some of this? You want some of this? You don't? You don't have any say in the matter. Come on. Stop crowding. Is that Maury Povich? Here, here's one for you, Maury.
Better pick up the pace and get to the car. Here's the keys. Oh, I didn't leave my keys back in my jacket. No, here they are. Oh, phew. All right. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go, go, go. To the side of the road. Wait for a truck.
Follow me, boys. Follow me.
Lord, half of them will fall off the car and the truck will take them out and the rest will follow me to the diner. Go, 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 go. That worked well. I think I got rid of about 50 of them there. All right, let's just drive along here down this rutted path until we get to the spot where the haunted diner is. I know where it is. Right up ahead. It's right. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's a sign. Let me get out and check the sign, see what it says. A haunted diner will open on this spot October 31st, built by CGI Contracting. Here come the zombies. They don't sound very zombie-like. They don't sound very zombie-like at all. On closer inspection, I see that they're all wearing Lou Reed t-shirts. That must be why they didn't fall down in horror when I played Metal Machine Music, because they're all Lou Reed fans who were dressed up for a zombie pub crawl. Okay, well, I've got some explaining to do and no doubt some subpoenas to answer, so I'm just going to use my phone here to trigger off the music at the diner to play the ending. Thanks for being here, folks. Thanks for joining us in this Halloween diner.
Okay. Listen, it was an honest mistake,
and we'll see you down the road. I hope.
Come on. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I play Metal Machine Music, and you don't even wince. Nothing. How am I to know you're a bunch of Lou Reed fans? I'm sorry. Hands off the paint. Yeah, hands off the car. Right, just watch me.
The Diner is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Go to audiblepodcast.com/The Diner and get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial.